Blog Talk Radio. Church, greetings. We love you, Jesus. We are your rapture-centric bride. We're so excited for your appearing. We can't wait. We believe it's today. I do anyway. And I can't wait to kiss your face today. And I'm looking forward to that. It's Friday night, Jesus. What a good time to come on a Friday night. Jesus, get us on a Friday night. That would be really fun because it's TGIF. So we're thanking God it's Friday because you're coming. Isn't that right, Tana? I'm in a Friday mood.
Oh my God.
Hold on, I'm trying to let Tana on. It's not letting me. Oh. Okay, all right, I'm pressing. Isn't that right, Leah? Isn't that right, Grandma Pat? Isn't
hi,
that right,
hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Not letting me on.
Okay, now I'm on. Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, yes, that's right. Great time to come. Love you, Jesus. Come get us today. Shout out to Jesus. Hi,
amen.
Everybody.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Leah.
Yeah,
I'm on the park with
Leah.
Jesus.
Hi, sweeties.
Sweetie. Hi, chat. Everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah,
I'm
we have Pete and the lovely Leah and Tana. God bless everybody. We're just here to welcome our King and see what he wants to do tonight. It's Friday night, and a lot of people have had a sense that the Lord is coming on a weekend. So I count Friday as a weekend, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's been at least a handful of people that have told me that the Lord has revealed to them it's going to be a weekend. So I get excited around the weekend. I also get excited every night around 11:58 p.m. Because he showed my son in two visions in the early days when he first fell on him. So I have a hard time going to sleep before 11:58. Sometimes I do, but I really look forward to that hour. And I know there's a lot of brides that God has given specific time frames to. He'll do it. You know, he can do anything. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Amen.
I want to welcome Carol and Nick and Alana and Raina and Rosemary and Tana in the chat room, and Tana's on the line too, and we have three or four guests. We're glad you're here, guests. Go ahead and make a profile so we can get to know you. If you want to be known, we would like to know you, but if you want to remain a mystery, that's fine. You can remain a mystery. And Blog Talk, hear me now. Blog Talk Radio, you better quit kicking Rojo out of chat. I'm telling you, I'm putting you on notice right now, tech demons. You better lay off of Rojo. All right. I like putting the demons on notice.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, does anybody on the line have anything to report about what the Lord's done with you today, Keith or Pat or Leah or Tana?
Well, I was just going to say, when I was looking at my phone, I have 111 emails in my phone, and it was 333, so he just was flirting with me with three sets of numbers. So it was 111 and 333.
Oh, my.
So love
that's
it.
What he just did.
Thank you for the flirt, Lord.
Yeah,
I love that. He does that a lot with Andre, our friend Andre. He shows him 11:11 all the time. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Flirt more. Flirt more. Get us more.
Yeah. Today was my 50th wedding anniversary, if my husband had lived. So I went through some old papers, and I found a second set of a whole bunch of wedding pictures. So it was like, whoa. Oh,
wow.
My gosh. I know. Wow.
Okay.
I was cleaning stuff out. There must be 50 of them here. Just the second set I had from the album. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, we're reminding me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
He's making new albums in heaven, too, huh, Pat?
Oh, boy. I guess I'm going to dance with him. My husband was quite a dancer. He even toured Arthur Murray. We used to go to the governor's ballroom and dance away. That's why I know.
Wow.
I can envision Jesus and I dancing because I know how to dance.
Wow.
I guess he's going to grab me up there. One of them is going to say, no, you're going to dance with me. No, you're going to dance with me. Of course, God gets first choice. That's hysterical.
Oh, my goodness, I love it.
Oh, yes. If you guys ever need to learn to dance, you can just see Jerry. He'll teach you how.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's funny.
Wow, 50 is past. That's impressive. Wow.
Yeah, it would have been 50 years. He's dead 2 years, August. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't
yeah,
know.
Poor man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
These were so hidden away, and I just happened to have this box of things I was going to go through. It's been sitting around for a million years, and I said, and I didn't know I was going to find these, and there's a whole mess of them looking at me right now. Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. He does stuff like that. Funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we had good years until he got really sick, you know, so, you know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, but that's wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
50 years,
that's
definitely, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't mean I didn't have my times. There was a time I left for a year. I thought it was curtains for us, but I came back, and I came back. I won't go into that, you know. Sometimes I wonder, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. All my sisters, everybody, nobody's with their whatevers anymore. The kids, everything, everybody's like, and I pray for my daughter Miriam because her husband has a little bit of a drinking problem and a kind of an attitude. So she could very well, she says she's not going to stay with the marriage if he's not going to cooperate, and, you know, she shouldn't have to stay with someone who drinks. So we've got a room downstairs. She's coming for a whole week this week. So Lord knows where this is going. You know, so it's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, you know what? She's coming into your house. Be ready.
Monday.
Be ready to receive the power of the Lord. You know? Because
we talk about God. People, yeah.
Well, everywhere everywhere the bride's at, the power of your anointing. When God had me working before he had me quit my job, you know, I told you about the story about the student who said every time she came in my class, the voices in her head would shut up. And that's because I was there. But she told people, she would say, I love coming to this class every day because the voices in my head, they shut up. They don't talk when I'm in here. And I thought that was wonderful, and I never said much because the Lord said, don't say anything, just continue. And then one day, a few months later, she said, she came over to me and she said, could you please make the voices stop for good so I don't just have to come in here?
My Geraldine, she hears me talking on the phone, and she says, I feel such peace when I hear you talking on the show. She says, I'll be upset. She says, this peace will come over me, and I'll be okay, you know. Yeah, this is the one who has schizophrenic effective.
You know, whether they come into your own house or whether they're just in your, like Keith talks about the energy, whether they're just in your past, they know that they've encountered something different, and that's why the New Agers at Yoga, they love me, because they see my energy, they feel it, and they know that I'm, you know, they like me because I walk in good energy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not shy about him.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, Bride, as long as we're here, we're exuding the energy of the Lord, and that's why it's important to recognize that we're powerful and we're not pathetic. And even though, you know, a lot of us are like, okay, we're on overtime, Lord, you should have come yesterday. The Lord, he actually gave me a word today that I want to share. And then I have to go in an hour because I have to go. We have a family member that's graduating. And so anyway, long story short, I want to keep the show going though. So hopefully Joe can take over, or I'll just leave all you guys on the line and then you can just all hang up at a certain time, you know, like at the two-hour mark, or you can let it go in podcast. So I'll let everyone decide on the line how you want to deal with that. But I just won't have my phone to do that with. So if Joe can call, on medication and stuff for his little surgery he had, so he might not be able to do it. So anyway, I just wanted to say, I wanted to share that because the Lord,
you can.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can,
we'll
stay online. And Judy, just when you have to leave, just announce who's on the air, and we can talk and do the show without. You'll be fine. We'll be just fine.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that people can still call in and talk. I don't think so. I think it's fine. So you guys can ask anyone new. Has anyone new come on the line? You know, But anyway, it's Friday night, so I'll be back in the chat. Sure, I just have to go run some errands, and it was the only time I could do it. Anyway, long story short, guys, I think I told you that the Lord had me sitting flat on my, you know, after he fell on my son and had me quit my job and all that. I was basically flat on my back for 5 months, and then he gave me permission, as everyone knows, to start going out of the house and hiking and doing my yoga again and having, you know, doing those couple activities. And then he's interrupted that time in the last couple days. He said, don't get up. I want to talk to you. Like, don't get up. So I've been laying down again. And today he allowed me to get up. But I just want to tell you what he downloaded to me. It was very cool. You know,
great.
It's really, really cool. And it's very encouraging. He said, just because they don't understand my ways, they accuse me of being a liar. They accuse me of lying. And I just made a video called that. It says, don't accuse God of lying because you don't understand his ways. But basically I'm rambling. It was just a wonderful download. He was so beautiful. He said he was very hurt. His feelings were hurt because he said, I speak to my creation, but, you know, God is God. And if we could understand all of his ways, then we would be God, wouldn't we, though, you know? But he does require faith. He told me I require faith. That's all I ask of my people is that they have faith. He doesn't tell us we have to do anything. It's the only religion that doesn't require you to do anything. Really, all God requires is that you believe and you're saved, okay? Now, once you have a relationship with God, he'll ask you to do things, and then, of course, you'll do them. But as far as getting saved, there is nothing that is required but belief, okay, and just believing in the Lord. Okay, so, you know, when God speaks to us, we understand it. Why would he speak a different language? That's ridiculous. All these people that think that he's talking in all these mysteries, he doesn't look in the Bible. I mean, he talks to you in your language so that you understand it. That's why he fell on my 10-year-old and said, I'm coming. You know, he wasn't saying, you know, he let him know in 10-year-old language, I'm coming now, stop everything, and, you know, he had him preach for a while. And then he lifted that anointing. He put the office of prophet on him, and my son preached from December 5th to December 25th, and then he had him stop preaching, and then he took him to heaven and brought him a bunch of visions and continued to do it. And then a couple months ago, he released him from that, and he said, now I just want you to wait until I come. And I think we all know the last word he told my son was that the rapture is today. Believe it and be happy. Should you wake up here tomorrow, I want you to say it's today, because that's how close it is. It's not what I want you to live. So then he gave my son from now. My son is forever changed. He'll never be the same as he was, but he's gone back to doing the things that a kid does. But for those first four months or so, he was not a normal kid. He could not function other than saying the scriptures in his Bible, preaching. You know, all he was declaring, and that's why we didn't go many places, because it would be odd, you know. But long story short, he was really speaking to me this morning, especially in the last couple days. I really encourage you guys, if the Lord tells you to stay in bed or gives you a directive, listen to it, you know, like, just because you'll be rewarded for it. I mean, he told me to do it. I'm not, after 28 years of following the Lord, I'm not going to disobey, but I'm not going to lie. I was kind of looking forward to my hike and my yoga, but I'm not stupid. If the Lord said, stay here and don't move today, I'm going to listen. You know, I just got up to make my son food, but other than that, I stay in bed and I sit with him. He doesn't talk to me nonstop. It's just that I sit with him. I just obey him, you know? So what he told me today, he said, they don't understand like 5% of what I tell them, and so then they get discouraged. But if they would keep talking to me, I would give them explanation, though I may not, they won't understand it. And he was just telling me that, like, over and over, and he wanted me to encourage everyone that, you know, when God has spoken to you and things haven't come to pass, or he said that they would come to pass at a certain time and they didn't, you know, it's easy to get offended at God or to think maybe you were wrong, but my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and I will never apologize for what God has told us in our family. And people have still come to me and they're like, can't you admit you were wrong? I mean, can't you just admit that you guys don't know when he's coming, and, you know, that you were wrong, that you've lied, you know? And I'm like, no, because God doesn't lie, and it wasn't me who said it. You know, I couldn't make all this stuff up if I tried. It's just too bizarre, you know? Anyway, so long story short, God was telling me to declare that and to continue to what he told me and my son when he would have us go on these Enoch walks. He was reminding me of all the stuff that he had us do these past 6 months. It was almost like he was taking me back in a dream. And it was kind of cute. I was thinking fondly of it and laughing. He would tell my son and I to go on these Enoch walks because he specifically told my little boy, I'm going to translate you during this walk. Okay, guys? And I think I've talked about this, but he told my son, I'm going to be translating you during Enoch walk. So my son and I began taking these long walks. This was a few months ago. I think I did share it with the family. I might not have. I shared it with some people. So we'd be off on our Enoch walks fully expecting to not be coming back home, at least my son, okay? And there was a few times on the walk where my son felt his body going up, and he was really excited, but then it came back down. Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yeah, honey, go ahead.
Yep, go ahead.
And so what happened is we would come back, and we'd get right at the front door, and we were both baffled. I was offended personally because he's telling all my son this, and then my son's a little, gets to the door, and my son is a little baffled, and he's like, Mom, I wonder why he didn't take me, and he said he was going to. And this happened for a couple weeks. We would go on Enoch walks, and the Lord had us going, and then we'd get to the front door, and he would tell my son right before we opened the front door to the house, he would download to my son. He would say, thank you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for believing everything that I've told you to do, and thank you for being obedient. And then my son would be totally happy. He would be like, Mom, God just told me thank you, and that he's proud of us. And he would be, like, really excited. So then all my offense at God would go away because as long as my son was happy, I was happy. You know, I was like,
yeah.
And I understand it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. As long as you keep an open dialogue with God and you keep talking to him, he'll keep talking to you. But what happens is sometimes when we don't understand that 5% of the way he works, we get offended or we think that we made a mistake. But listen, church, you're hearing God. And he wanted me to tell you that to just continue to keep talking to him. And so he would tell us at the end of these walks, same thing every time my son would get to the door, and he'd say, thank you for being obedient and doing what I've asked you to do, and thank you. And so he'd be like, okay. So, you know, we did those walks for a couple weeks, and then the Lord had to stop doing those Enoch walks, you know. And so what really matters is our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're about to get married to a groom that is going to make all of our dreams come true. So don't you think the least that you could do, you know, don't you want to make, if you're getting married in the natural, you want to please your spouse. So Jesus is our spouse.
Yeah.
That's why he gave us the marriage analogy. So don't you want to please him right now by faith? I mean, yeah, we don't understand it. Instead of getting offended at the 5% we don't understand, let's just thank him and continue to dialogue with him, because I guarantee you he will satisfy you with his answer. He's never given us he told us that, you know, when we wake up here today and he still hasn't come, he tells us, you'll understand it all in the blink of an eye why I've done it this way. But for now, thank you for doing what I'm saying and being obedient, because I am coming, and I'm not lying, and I'm not playing a game. I'm not playing a game with my bride. You know, he's not teasing us, you guys. I know it feels like you're being teased or lied to when he gives you such obvious words and dates, and they come and go, but we're going to understand it all in the blink of an eye, and that's what he told our family, and that's why I don't get, you know, that's why I continue to get excited, because he told me, he said, I founded my rapture-centric church upon dates that I've given my bride and upon date setters. These are my dates that I've given my bride. He said, in addition to today, I want my bride to believe it's today, but in addition to today, I will continue to give dates to my bride until I get here. So he said, you can believe those dates if you'd like. And my son chooses not to, but I do. So I get excited when people call in and they have a new date. I never get tired of it. Some people get let down. They're like, oh, no, I can't have another date come and go. I'll be too disappointed. Not me, because I don't have to wait for the date that he gives you, because I'm excited about it. But truly, he can come today, because that was his promise. His promise has been both today that I come, and he gives dates. So, see, we're winners no matter what. But, you know, it does take a jackass to believe this stuff, because you've got to throw out your human logic. You know, and you've got to throw out your human logic, and you have to go by faith. And you can only and that's acquired by the Spirit. And so when people are getting weary and tired of believing and dropping out of this race, it's because, I'm telling you, it's because they're not going to him. and they're giving up on him, because if you keep going to him with your struggle, he's going to keep talking to you. But what happens is we get offended when we don't understand things, and we just get and go to him with it. I try to tell you guys, I've yelled at him too. I'm like, God, you told me to quit my job. My bank account's low. I've given most away. You got to come now. I mean, do you want me to go back to work? I straight yelled at him. I'm like, this isn't funny anymore. Like, you got to come, because I'm ready to, you know, I'm a single mom. You took my son's dad.
Yeah.
You know, what am I supposed to do? And I'm just like everyone else in the same boat, that the Lord has called me to radical faith. And believe me, I'm better for it. But I've yelled at him. And that's okay, you see, because you can do that with a friend. You can do that with a friend. But if he's not, if you haven't made him your friend and you're still in a superficial relationship, well, you're scared of him. So you dare not yell at him. You dare not do anything wrong, you know. And Katie, I love Katie. I talk to her almost every day. You know, she has it out with God, but not very often, you know. You know, she has it out when she needs to. But see, the thing is, he flirts with her so much that she hardly yells at him anymore, you know. I mean, she hardly does.
That's
she
nice.
Goes, well, I don't barely yell at him anymore because, you know, he told her to go to the mall, and he's like, go to Victoria's Secret, and there's her rash of perfume, you know. So she mostly just laughs with him. She knows he's coming. You know, we were talking today. She had to move out of her student apartment back into her parents' house because, you know, she's graduated. And, you know, she never thought that would be happening. She just thought we'd be gone. But her and I were laughing. We're like, yeah, he is coming. He is, you know, I just want to encourage you in your faith today that, you know, there's always going to be a little bit that we don't understand, but God just asks that we continue to believe. And see, this is, we only get to live by faith for a blink of time, you guys. He's coming. So the way I look at it is this. I say, God, okay, I'm about to have all my dreams come true. You're going to marry me, and then he promised me a beautiful marriage to a real spouse with more kids. He's given me a lot of promises. So, I mean, I'm going to have, like, a perfect life pretty soon. So the least I could do for my king now is thank him and please him. And the Bible says the only way to please him is by faith. So I continue to please my groom and to really impress him by believing like a jackass. And I know we make a joke about it, but, I mean, it really does take a jackass to believe it's 2013. I mean, clearly it's 2014, but that's not what the Lord told us. He said, and he told many people, I'm coming in 2013. And I just know that it's really not. I mean, we have 6 months away until it's 2015. We're 6 months away from 2015. And, you know, the Lord told us he's coming this year. And that was December, you know, in November he said that. I'm coming this year. So, you know, it will not be it'll not be the next year. It'll be 2013 until the bride is taken, because, see, I believe what God told me. And, you know, I just want to continue to, you know, encourage you to believe everything that the Lord has told you. He doesn't lie. And if you start to look at it in the world's eyes or your natural eyes, you're going to get frustrated. But if you give your faith is acquired by the Spirit. And if you look in the Bible, it's very consistent that God asks his people to do weird things, crazy things. Say it's 2013, if you look in the Bible, that's not really very weird, you guys, compared to the things he had other people doing by faith, okay? You know, I mean, really, it's not that far of a stretch to think it's 2013 and to know that he's coming today. So, anyway, I'm done rambling. I just wanted to share.
Oh, no, that's good.
Letting me share with someone.
Of course.
I hope it helps somebody or bless somebody.
Of course.
People get discouraged, you know. I really don't want to see my family getting discouraged. I love everybody, and I just, you know, I'm not talking about we have down days. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But I'm talking about walking away altogether. You know, I've heard some people say it's just too hard to walk like this. It's just too painful. I'm going to drop out of this, you know?
That makes me sad because
the highest calling right now is to be rapture-centric. You know, don't backpedal. Keep going forward. And God's given us a family to encourage each other. So it's normal in this walk of faith to have days of discouragement. I'm not talking about that, okay? It's okay to say, you know what, today I'm going to be depressed. You know, and God told me a while back, when he first told me to leave the church, he said, he told me, it was really funny, I was really mad about something, and he said, he told me, you have 24 hours to be mad, and then I don't want you to be mad anymore, because I was mad at a person. He goes, you have 24 hours to be mad at the person. And I was like, well, that was dumb. I'm like, I might as well not be. So I, like, cut it down to like, you know, 10 minutes, you know. So, give yourself grace, you know, like,
priceless.
Say, okay, I'm going to take 5 hours to be miserable and mad. I'm going to go eat a gallon of ice cream and get pissed off that you haven't come, and then make up your mind after that, you know, I'll put the program, you know.
Anyway. Thanks for being so human. Love it, love it, love it. Got to hear that. Thank you. You just bless the whole world because that's what they need to hear. It's okay. He gives you permission. Only 24 hours now. Love it.
Yeah.
It's precious.
I love
that's
it.
Priceless.
You know, we're actually heroes. We're actually heroes and giants in the faith. We're actually a very powerful people.
Gosh.
But, you know, even Jesus, when he was here, you know, you got to rest. You got to give yourself a break, you know, because for the most part, those of us race, God showed me, we're all running, we're athletes, we're running on this field. He showed me in my vision that the rapture-centric church is on a track, okay, and we all have a very important position on the track, so we need each other to hold that position, because then we pass the baton on one to another. And he showed me in the vision the finish line, so we are there, church, we are really there, but continue to hold your place, because, you know, without Carol, without Jason 302, without John Brabant, without Chris Slaughter, without Nick, without Alana, without Raina and Rojo and Roman and Jerry and Tana, you know, without Joe and Keith and Pat and Leah and whoever else is listening that we don't know your name, but, you know, we need you. Like, it truly makes the race not only fun and entertaining and joyful to have all the different people and personalities put together under one banner. Jesus Christ put us all together. We need you to believe God. We need your faith to couple up with our faith. You know, when we see your faith dropping, you know, we're going to pray for you, but you know, we need your good day. You know, we need each other. Anyway.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah,
even
rapture retards need a break, Rojo said, and you do, and you have permission by God to do that, you know. He'll tell me, like, he really is funny, like, you have 24 hours to get over this.
That's
you know?
Funny.
I'll let you mad. You know? And when God breaks
funny.
Down that, I was like, well, that's stupid, I'll just get over it now. I mean, why wait 24 hours?
I love it. I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
That was great. That's great. I find that I'm just, his presence is getting stronger and stronger. He's talking deeper and deeper, and even if he doesn't say anything, it's like, it's just almost overwhelming, the sense of presence and a sense of belonging, you know, and that's for all of you guys, you know. You know, I found some letters that he wrote me, or I wrote him, like 2008. I'm going to maybe just later, you know, after we get everybody, I'm going to just read, I don't know, one of them to you. And even back in 2008, he said something about he's coming soon. So, I mean, even back then, you know, he's talking about it. And I found all these things cleaning out this container thing, you know. So today's been mixed blessings, I'm telling you. So
wow.
Yeah, I think you'll find them interesting. So, some of them are very romantic, but so, I mean, I don't care. Whatever he says to me, he's saying to all you guys, because, you know, it's everybody is one. I think if we realized how one we are in him, we'd realize that nobody's separated or anything. We're one heart, one soul, one mind, one spirit in him, in his image and likeness. You know, there's a oneness that we can't even get our arms around that we share with each other in him. It's like a mystery still,
yeah.
But we're going to understand it in heaven. All of us are one.
Yeah, you know, I also want to say that you guys, when we come together as a church and Jesus Christ is leading us, this is your church. So if you have stuff you want to share, call in. This is, you make this place what it is, you know. And also, if you are rapture-centric and you're here, but you're having a day where you need telephone played on you, by all means, like, say something, you know. Like, don't be... Tell us, you know, I've had days where I've needed telephone on me, and I called Leah once. I'm all, Leah, I need a word, you know, and I couldn't even wait for church to start, and Leah had a word for me, you know, so if you're at church, and you're like, guys, I'm having one of those days, I need telephone played on me, be sure and tell us, because that's why we're here to encourage each other. We're here to give glory to the Lord. We're here to show Jesus off and have Jesus show us off before the big wedding. You know, and service could be our last service. But I also want to thank Roman for his video today. Ro- Roman is in chat. Welcome, Roman. He made an excellent video exposing darkness. He did it with taste. He did a great job on that video, Roman. I loved it. And I encourage everyone to check out his video. And there's a lot of people at Rapture Centric Church that do have YouTube channels that make some good videos. Let's see. Roman does. Jim does at Acts 2:17 now. Dustin hasn't made one for a while, but I did talk to Dustin today, and the Lord is definitely showing Dustin he's coming today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me an inbox. He's coming during the meteor showers.
Hey, there you go.
And there's more people that have YouTube pages, but let me just see who's on the line here. So let's see, we have Jerry on the line, and Thomas is on our way to work, and Leah and Pat and Keith, and Joe's back. Hey, Joe, are you going to be able to take over the show when I have to leave?
Yeah, I can do that.
Hey, Joe.
Awesome.
Hi,
okay.
Everybody.
Cool.
Judy, I have something to add to what you were talking on. I couldn't agree more. Also, something the Lord told me and showed me in Isaiah and Revelation, and it's all over. You know, let's talk about the year of the Lord, the day of the Lord, rather. That lasts for the last year of the tribulation. Like, I was told shortly after New Year's it was on. I was told a few months ago today, and have been told that since then, and asked why, and was shown that today for us is not today for him. 2015 comes, maybe then I'll be surprised. Again, I've been waiting since I was six, so I'm not going to stop now. But I really, you got to meditate on the fact that time is very different between the Almighty and us.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Today for him is,
yeah.
You think he literally made the earth in 6 days? Like, meh.
Yeah.
It's just please don't get discouraged. And if you do, just think about that. You know, go to him.
Yeah,
he'll explain
timing.
It to you. He explained it to me. It's different than ours. It's very different, and it's hard for us to understand without our glorified brain.
Yeah. Judy, before you go, I'll read this little message that I had in 2008, and it took like 30 seconds to even read it, but
no,
I didn't. Yeah, let me, because I know you're going to go. This is in September 2008. He says, I'm always with you, listening for any word. And this is for all of us now, okay? So just, this is for you too. Stay very, very close to me. The days ahead may be trying. Do not lose hope or faith. You know I am very close to you and yours. You all belong to me. Can you imagine how heavy-hearted I am to see the majority of my children so far from me? Hopefully with the earth changes, some will return. Things are going to change. Be prepared, spiritually especially. One never knows when I will call them home. So that was the message in 2008. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. And I just found this today, you know, scrounging through stuff. Yeah.
So he gave this to you personally?
Yes. This is in 2008. He gave, I have others too. I'm not going to read them all tonight. But, I mean, they're more like love letters, but they're to everybody. I mean, whatever I have, I give to everybody. But here, he said, can you imagine how heavy-hearted I am to see the majority of my children so far from me? Hopefully, with the earth changes, some will return. Things are going to change. Be prepared, spiritually especially. One never knows when I will call them home. Now, home can be rapture, transition, or dying. You know, it won't take you pick, you know. So see how timely things are? I didn't know. I forgot all about these. I mean, I had them all neatly a little special thing, but I went through something said to go through, clear out this container, and this is what I found, plus a bunch of whole other letters and stuff, you know. And they're back to 2007, 2008, 2009. Yeah, yeah. So he's even talking that. So as Joe said, his timing is not our timing. He's talking about earth changes back then. You know, yeah. So,
But how he brought it up to you today, how he explained it today, I think that's very poignant.
Yeah. And it's not a long message, but it's...
The very fact that he showed that word to Pat today to share with us, that's very significant.
I think so.
I love it.
Because he's saying how he's hurt. But, that others don't love him for the most part, and he says things are going to change. Be prepared, spiritually especially. One never knows when I will call them home, you know. So he's giving a warning even here. And there's another message I have where he says, I'm going to be returning soon. And that I think that was in 2008 or 2009. But his soon is not our soon. Oh, my goodness. You know, so, yes, don't be discouraged, because even when did he start saying it? About 2010? I have messages around 2000, not on YouTube, 2010, 11, saying he's coming. And this was 2008. So, I mean, there you go, you know? You know, yeah, we're right.
Awesome. Well, and you know what? He interrupted our household and basically had to stop everything. So I know that we are in the season. This isn't going to be another year or two or even months away, guys. We are at the door. He let me see the finish line. And, you know, just keep up with the news. Everything that God has told us and revealed to us personally, it's all confirmed by his word and in the news. And I'm sure Keith will give us that. But before that, I was going to ask if Jerry could give us, I think the Lord is speaking to Jerry in Revelation 6:16 or something. Jerry, could you share with us what's on your heart?
Yeah, here I am. Something I mentioned
hey,
in chat a while. Yeah, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
honey, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We're all
happy.
Okay.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. I was trying to look for something here. But anyway, something that I mentioned in chat a while ago, and this is, it's just one verse, but let me read last few verses of Revelation 6. And the heaven was removed as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the princes and the chief captains and the rich and the strong and every bondman and free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And for the great day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand? So the verse that I was sort of focusing on was Revelation 6:16. And a long time ago, when I read this, it really struck me. And I think it's something that's, it's easy to overlook. And there's a lot of people who disregard it. And that is, you know, we live in a world right now where so many people, they disavow God. They choose various other gods. They have their idols. They have their lives. They have all the things that they do that distract them. And very few people really acknowledge that there's a God who's going to come back and make things according to his way. And when you read this verse, which is relatively early in Revelation, there is no doubt about what's happening when destruction befalls the earth. It says, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, these are people who, you know, are not in the church. They're not in keeping with God. These are people who live lives separately from God. And they want to hide under a rock because they know judgment from the real God and the Lamb of God is coming. That's a giant change in the consciousness of the people of the world. And I think it's very easy to overlook that because it's just this one verse, really. But if you think of the world that we live in right now and how many people either doubt or ignore it or whatever they do, when you see that in this case, they have no doubt whatsoever that it's judgment that's happening and where it's coming from. What changes the consciousness of these people? And that is, I believe, the rapture, the translation, the church being taken out.
Yes.
And whatever it is, you know, Jesus appears in the clouds and what have you, somewhere along the line, whether it's the taking of the church or whatever it is, by the time God's wrath pours out on the earth, which is judgment, it's not meanness, it's judgment. By the time that happens, everybody will understand where the lines have been drawn. That's not the case today. The world is a very different place than that right now. And to me, that was a big eye-opener.
Wow. Yes, creation is groaning, you know. People know. People are stocking up on guns and food because they know. Wow.
Homes in the ground.
Thank you for that, sharing that.
I mean, a lot of us are conscious of that, but there's... It's so hard when you read Revelation or Daniel or a lot of these prophetic books to, when you're a believer, we come at it from a place of at least partial peace and comfort. And, you know, the people who are going to have a very radical and very quick change of perspective are the people who are not seeking God. And that is, you know, those people are going to have a very quick change of mind, and it's a big aspect of how their world changes. And if you think about, we see the power of God as a loving God, a powerful God, one we want to be closer to, one we want to be reconciled with. Because we believe in the demonstrations, really, of his grace and love. But if you don't believe in that, and if you have not lived that way, if you see the power of God coming in the sky or feeling it in whatever manner, your reaction to it as a person who is an unbeliever, it's going to be something altogether different. It's going to be scary.
Yeah.
And we don't want people to be scared, but it's real power, and people should not deny it.
Wow. Sobering words.
Yes, very sobering.
The good news is they shouldn't, because the Lord wants to spare them a lot of trouble. But the good news is, should they not take heed to what was just spoken and all the warnings around them, you know, they still get to cry out to the Lord in the trib and be saved. And I always try to tell people that, like, don't worry, you know, when we disappear and you're still here, I always try to remember to say that. I told a lot of my students before I left the high school, too, I said, listen, you still have hope if you get left behind. Because some of my students were convinced they were going to be left behind. They're like, no, you don't know, I'm really bad. And I'd be like, okay, well, if you are left behind, remember. You know, I don't think you will be. I just prayed for you, and but if you are, just remember, you still can cry out to the Lord and be saved, because He's never going to give up on His creation. And God told our son that most people will get saved, but you know, there's going to be plenty of people in hell. Don't get me wrong, but you guys, God is going to save people. Like Jerry, like you're saying, I mean, they're not stupid. I mean, people that don't know God know that things are not right in this earth. And you know, when things really start to when the bride leaves and the things that God told my son were going to happen, the 3 days of darkness, and then the comets are going to hit for full 24 hours, and the next day is going to be a full 24 hours of nuke. He showed my son the whole thing. You know, when there's that kind of destruction going on, you are going to cry out to the Lord. That's why I think he told my son most people that we're praying for. Okay, so just be encouraged. They really are going to cry out to the Lord, and that's all they're going to have time to do. The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Okay, the thief on the cross, he didn't have time to do the sinner's prayer. Just, Jesus, help! He's going to save them, okay?
Yes.
And your
that's
job,
right.
Some of our jobs in heaven are going to be to teach them. You know, you can't just go to heaven and be in shock. You know, you're going to have to understand what heaven is. And for people that have not wanted to know about God, there's going to be kind of like school. And those of us that know him, be teaching people, like, why you're here and how you made
it. That's what the bride's going to do.
In your sphere of influence and the people that you're around, what do you think, like, percentage-wise, of the people that you interact with what you do in your life, you know, what do you think the percentages of people that you're looking at that are going to be left behind?
It's not a happy number. We have been a part of three Christian schools where we have different ones. And these are places where people make real sacrifices and have a sincerest interest in their kids' futures and, you know, the trust that they have with their kids. And there are some who are very much aware of the times. But I don't know, somewhere else I saw somebody talking about a number like 10%. And I would say, and then I think maybe, anyway, it's much less than that. And these are people who I have appreciation for and in every other respect. But, you know, everybody is so busy just trying to run their lives. And they haven't, from God's point of view, they've got the cart before the horse. So it's going to be a small percentage, but a lot of people have prophesied two separate things that I want to mention. And one is I've seen that a lot of people have had dreams or visions about places of light, places of refuge on the earth during this time of great trouble. And I believe that probably one of the tasks of the 144,000, in addition to proclaiming the word and operating in God's power, is I think they're going to somewhat preside over some of these places of refuge for people who, you know, decide to not hesitate in seeking the power of God as a place of refuge. The other thing is other people have actually for a very long time forecast and prophesied a great end-time revival. And I believe being confronted by this time of trouble that a whole bunch of sleeping Christians are going to be awakened. And so we're going to see, or from somewhere, we're going to see that there will be on the earth a tremendous upsurge, and I think people tend to forget that the word apocalypse is being used more and more now, even in the generic culture, and people forget that that's a Greek word, and all it really means is the revealing. And so that's where Revelation comes from. And so John says that the book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. And I think the implication, recently I've come to believe the implication is that it's actually the re-revealing of Jesus Christ. In other words, the second coming. And how that fits into the timeline of Revelation, I don't have any idea, because the more I study it, the less sure I am. I know what I'm looking at, but in terms of any one timeline, because there are hidden little mysteries in Revelation that raise a lot of questions, but it is the revealing of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is love and grace and also order, and not in a harsh way, but I mean, basically, mm-hmm. if you want to live in a way, in a kingdom where things function correctly and everyone's more or less at peace and, to use a, I don't want to use a New Age word, but basically harmony. You know, when everything's sort of functioning in a correct rhythm with every other element, this is what we're going to see. And so it has something, he's the one to come back and make those changes and, no matter how scary it is, in the end, the one thing you can know that's not scary is putting your faith in Christ, the Lamb of God, Father God.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's what's scary is opposing him. That's what's really scary.
Oh, yeah.
And so there will be places of refuge probably in the near future, and more than likely a huge, tremendous revival.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Thank you, Jerry. We have
317.
I want to welcome 317. Hi, 317. You're unmuted, I think. Nope, that's the wrong button. Now you're unmuted.
Okay.
Is that you?
That's Jerry.
I'm so sorry. Your name isn't on my list, so now it is Jerry.
Oh, okay.
My D. Clearly, you are already unmuted. Does anyone have anything to add to that?
Oh, it's right on.
Oh,
God will do everything he can save everybody, you know. He'll
Oh, yeah.
He'll do everything he can to get everybody in, you know. But he still leaves us free. But when the people see the world going so nuts like that, I mean, really nuts, they're going to have a good think and they're going to cry out.
Yeah.
That's what people do when they get scared to death. They cry out.
You know, there'll be a big revival, too, because that's what Revelation talks about, the latter rain. Or not in Revelation, but in another book talks about the latter rain. So we do know there'll be a huge revival, for sure.
Yeah, I recently read that somewhere.
Yeah, it's the latter rain, known as the latter rain will be stronger than the former rain, you know. That will be all the, and then people will do greater things than Jesus did. You know, that's that, where that verse comes into effect as well, you know.
I think that's one of the most, I think that's one of the most long-standing prophecies of the end times, actually.
And, you know, you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were saying, I just was able to get on now. I was muted. Not because you guys, but I have company. Anyway, I caught the last part of what you were saying, Jerry, about you know, the sad part, the scary part is the opposition of Jesus, right? And I've been thinking in the last several days, the meaning of repentance. And, you know, the meaning, the reason there's so much emphasis to repent is because they're opposing Jesus. That's all it is. If you give your heart to Jesus, you're repenting, because up until that point, you were opposing him. So by surrendering your heart to him, you're no longer opposing him. And repenting to me means you change your mind from opposing the Lord. Don't oppose him. Come to him. You know, and when we come to him, then he removes all the yokes, all the heavy laden, and all the bitterness and the anger, and, you know, he melts our heart. And I don't know how it's going to be. Once we leave, you know, I'm not a scholar, per se. I read, I study, and I get revelation. But in all the end-time teachings that I've, you know, come across, everyone says we're living in the age of grace. And once we leave the age of grace, which is favor, by the way, unmerited favor, once we leave, the age of grace is no longer here. And I'm not really sure what that means, because we're still here. So, you know, I think when the word goes out and says repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, it's like, don't oppose. I think what the message is, don't oppose Jesus. Go to him.
Amen.
That's my thought, and I think too many people right now, when they hear the word repent, it's like it turns in their heart. It produces like a bitter taste to them, because it's like the way it's been hammered to people. You better repent. You know, or
it's accusatory.
You're gonna
they
really
feel
be
accused,
in trouble.
Accused. Something
yeah.
to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't tell me to repent. You know, like.
Yeah. Who are you to tell me?
Exactly.
What to do?
That's. It doesn't set well with them.
It doesn't.
No.
But
when they're scared to death, you know, that repentance, they won't even think about the word repent. They'll just be crying out to the Lord, like, help, what's going on? I'm scared to death. I've never been so frightened. Can't understand what's happening. Help me. Yeah.
I think it's a lot like Pharaoh, you know, soften your heart. You know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he would be so obstinate with Moses. But there, you know, what he asks us to do to have is have a softened heart and basically be willing to give him a chance, give him an opening. We want to see a door in heaven. He wants to see a door in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Carol, I like how you brought up the age of grace, which, you know, we could be in the last minutes of. I mean, for me, this is a high watch weekend. Everywhere, you know,
oh, yeah.
I think the Lord can do it, you know. But, you know, I mean, when you look at all the calamity, everything that's been hitting the world, I mean, events that take place that should kill thousands of people, kill a dozen. I mean, so many things, we are being spared. I mean, we had a meteorite that would have taken out the Earth come between us and the moon. That close.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the closest near-Earth object ever. And it was huge.
Yeah.
It would have decimated the planet. I mean, he's showing the signs like he said he would in the Word. And if people don't want to listen the easy way that he's given it, then it's going to have to be a little harder for them to get the message. But that hurts him. That's why he's going so much out of his way. That's why he has his soldiers going so much out of the way. All of us, you know, even doing this show, you know. It's what we do because we want, you know, it's what he wants us to do. That's why I do it. I definitely, you know, that's it. But the age of grace is coming to an end very quickly. You know, all we're waiting for now is the next seal where we're going to be raptured. And then right after that, it's really going to be quite awful. So,
awful doesn't
great,
describe
Carol,
it.
That you brought a, does anyone else have anything to talk about? It was about the age of grace and just what that means and how it is quickly coming to an end.
We're in his mercy right now, but justice will strike.
Well, I know one thing. I mean, this isn't about the, this is not relating to the age of grace, but what I do know is we are about to leave. Everything is happening so quickly. We know, and I don't know if this has been brought up in the news. Has anybody reported the news yet? Because I wasn't around.
No, we haven't done it, but go ahead.
Keith, I guess Keith will take care of that later.
Okay. Well,
what
I
do
don't
you
know
have to
if,
say,
if,
Carol?
If this is just a little prelude to what's going to happen during the trip, and that is the culmination of the world religions by the false prophets, right? So get this. This is today from a CNN blog, okay? This is what it says. As Pope Francis heads to Jordan, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem this weekend, he's bringing along two old friends from Argentina, Rabbi Abraham Sforza, who co-wrote a book with the Pope, and Sheikh Omar Aboud, who leads Argentina's Muslim community.
Yeah.
The Vatican says it is the first time that Pope's official entourage has included interfaith leaders.
Yeah.
In a region roiled by competing religious and political visions, Francis has chosen companions to communicate an unmistakable message. And so it goes on. It sends a pragmatic message to Muslims, Christians, and Jews that it is possible to work together not as a system of checks and balances, but as friends. And that, my friends, is telling us we are about to leave.
My friend.
That is the formation. That is the, can anyone hear?
Oh, yeah, honey. Well, it is here.
Oh.
I'm
reading Judy.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because this is
it's odd.
You know, the one world religion is the culmination of all religions, saying that all
mm-hmm.
paths lead to God. And they don't. Only the Lord Jesus.
Only
leads.
Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, I mean,
right.
What part of that doesn't somebody understand? I mean, how plain can you explain it? I mean, you have all the excuses in the world, but if you don't come to that conclusion, well, I'm sorry for you, because you got it wrong.
And it makes sense to us, because we have the light.
Yeah.
We have the light, but... Come on.
There's no way to twist it.
But
I
they
mean,
don't. But they,
yeah.
You know, they don't have the light.
Yeah.
In darkness, and
yeah.
they cannot see. You know, I
mm-hmm.
was this morning in chat or on the air. I brought out Isaiah 9:6, which is in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and it clearly speaks to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Mm-hmm.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, it tells you, Isaiah 9:6 tells them, that the Son is the Mighty God, that he's the Everlasting Father, that, you know, he's the Prince of Peace. But they still rejected Jesus when he came.
Yeah.
They're blind. The Muslims are blind. The Buddhists are blind. Hey, if Christians are blind, you know, how much more
yeah.
are they? Are those people
yeah.
blinded? And you know, when we leave, three things are going to happen. Besides the 3 days of darkness, the Antichrist will establish his appearance. Two, a one world currency will be formed, because the global economy will collapse. And thirdly, in order for the Antichrist to be worshipped, his sidekick, the false prophet, is going to gather all the religions so that they all sing Kumbaya, and he deceives them into making them believe that the Antichrist is the Messiah. And they believe that he, you know, those who take the mark will initially believe he's the Antichrist is the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah. So those three things are going to happen. And when I read this, you know, this blog, wow, the Pope is trying to make peace between the Muslims and the. And the Jews and the Catholics, you know, something big is happening in the spiritual realm already. We can all sense it already.
Oh yeah.
That's why we're so rapture centric. That's why we can't
mm-hmm.
wait to be with each other. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling each and every one of us. And you guys in chat. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you guys as well. He's not just speaking to us hosts or the callers that call in. You guys need to share more, you know, more revelation to us. Again, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you guys. Even if it's if you prayed and you prayed and He answered you a prayer shared with us. If you experienced the favor of God, share it with us. If you read a scripture and the Holy Spirit opened your eyes, share it with us. If something good happened, share it with us. If you prayed for someone, share it with us. We're all one body, and we need to function. We all need each other. You know, we can't just rely on just a few people sharing what we're seeing and what the Lord is showing us. We all have a great anointing. Each of you, each of us, has a great, great anointing. So,
amen. Jerry, did you have something to add?
I have a comment in the form of a question, because I want to see if somebody knows the answer to this before I just start off. Does anybody remember why Jesus said to the apostles that He spoke in parables?
Oh, that's so great. Yes, good, Jerry. Does anyone want to get into that? Why Jesus spoke in parables? The apostles even asked, why do you always speak in parables? And He answered them. Does anyone know what He answered? Jerry's asking.
Because the first time Jesus is really sort of accounted teaching in front of the apostles, He spoke in parables. And people had a hard time understanding. And later, He told the apostles why He did it. Does anybody remember?
I remember reading it, but I can't recall what it said.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but
I wanted
to give somebody else an opportunity. That
this
basic.
I mean, I know it, but Jerry, I want you to preach this because you're on fire. I'm feeling you right now. This is such a good point you brought up.
This is what is called in the New Testament the mystery of God. And the mystery of God is the age of grace. And the reason He said He spoke in parables was because if He spoke plainly to them, the people who were listening, He said everyone would believe and be healed and receive Him as who He was. He says, but that wasn't the purpose of His being there. His purpose was for the apostles to understand, but not for the general population at that time of Israel. And He said that was the mystery of God. And He basically said, if all these people believed, then in the end, He wasn't going to be crucified, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't be released, and the age of grace wouldn't have existed. And He said the purpose was to reach out to the Gentiles, to create an age for salvation of the Gentiles. And so the verse, there's at least one verse where the Bible says that God's hearts were, God partially hardened the heart of Israel so that the age of grace could exist.
Wow.
And so the age of grace is the mystery of God. That's one of the things, one of the labels that it is given. And there are other mysteries, but the mystery of God is the age of grace, and Jesus created it by speaking in parables.
Yeah. Wow.
He is right. I love the way you explained it, because all I knew is what the way it was explained to me, and that was that they would not understand. Their hearts were hardened. The Pharisees and Sadducees' hearts were hardened, and they would not understand unless He spoke in parables. But the way you explained it really makes sense.
I've never heard that quite like that.
I never heard it quite put like that. So yeah.
Yeah.
And that you're so spot on, isn't he, brothers and sisters? Jason, I love having you here. I can't want to speak for anyone else. Jason, I'm sorry, Jerry, I love having you here.
Yeah. Thanks,
Jerry. Thank you. It's such a blessing, brother. You're so well-versed in your Bible. I was wondering if you had interest in reading a little further on in Revelations, if you still have your scripture in front of you. If we could maybe continue.
You mean to do... Chapter 7?
Where you left off on chapter 6 through chapter 7. We were talking about this a few weeks ago, but we never got into it. And so much as, you know, at any point when you have points to bring up or anyone else, just politely cut in and say yes, and this means that or whatever. Just let Jerry continue and absorb it.
You know,
thank you, brother, for reading it for us. I know that, you know, takes a special person to be able to do that.
So you want me to go ahead with Revelation 7? Because really, I'm not sure what I would say right now about it.
Well, you know, just let it speak for itself. If you could leave off, if you could start where you left off at chapter 6,
okay.
That would
be
great.
Chapter 6 finishes, according to what I have in front of me. I'm electronic right now. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Interesting, it says their wrath. And that's the last verse that I have here. It's 6.
We're on 6. It's such an important chapter. It speaks all about the four horsemen, you know, and openings of seals, as you brought up. But then, chapter 7 is what we have to look forward to and describes a lot. So, if you don't mind, brother.
Sure. It's funny. I haven't read this. There's a couple of typos. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, and basically there were 12,000 sealed out of each tribe. After these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude, and no man could number, out of every nation and of all the tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. So there we transition right away between the 144,000 and the great multitude standing before the Lamb of God.
Right. It's going to be exact. People get hung up. Oh, it's not just 144,000. It's the great crowd as well. And as you know, to digress the spec back to chapter 3, where you know the angels are basically in position but holding off the wrath until we're raptured. That's what we are. This is living history right now.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So
It's like, do you think it would be different living what's depicted in a movie than it is when you see the movie? And a lot of times I think that this is the perspective we have to consider, you know, in the times we live right now, because if this time was accurately depicted, in a screen production, it would have one kind of feeling, whereas here we are in the middle of it, and you know we still have these other distractions and things. And if we're really determined, you know, we can slough off some of what we see. But the people whose eyes are open, I know, see what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well. Amen. So great. Yeah, I think every night we should explore, you know, at least a chapter of Revelation. I mean, this is right where we're at, and we can see what we have in store and live and start from the beginning and see everything that's happened, even the last few years. I mean, even recently, you know, the four horsemen, one of them is pestilence, and that has been running wild lately. I mean, all new diseases. They don't know what to make of them. You know, outbreaks on airplane, you have to quarantine, this and that. But, am I getting an echo? I'm sorry.
Sure. Hey, Joe, I'll support your point about reading, particularly Revelation here. Let me read Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Yeah.
And so there's actually... So I'm sorry. There's actually a blessing associated with reading this book. There's a blessing associated with reading and hearing the words of this book.
And believing it.
It's so important. It was a book. And who is the revelation? Whose revelation is it that's being recorded?
First words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means the unveiling.
Exactly. A lot of people think it's the revelation of John. It's not. Jesus revealed all this for his last generation, which, brothers and sisters, we are lucky enough to be that last generation. This book is for us.
I would like to make an editorial comment. It is not titled the Revelation. This is not titled the Revelation of the Antichrist.
True enough.
This is titled the Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's so important. I mean, if you want words from our Lord, here's a whole book of them, you know, telling us what's going to happen, what we're going to witness, what we get to be a part of, how much he loves us. It's all in here. It's so amazing. I've been hung up on Revelation since I was a young kid and could hardly even understand it. I was always drawn to it. And, you know, every day I get manna from it. I find something new or some, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever I get in the Word, it's sometimes, you know, it's written in a way where, just like Jesus spoke in parables, it's written in almost in that way where you have to meditate on it. You have to go to the Lord with it. You know, it'll give you enough, and he'll answer the rest. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's all in there. You know, you just got to take the time. It's like anything. If you want to get good at anything, you put in the time.
Yes,
and
right.
It's the same with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Try it. You'll like it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, when I made the discovery that there was a blessing for those who read the book of Revelation, I made sure. I read it through and through, and I've read it several times, probably more than a dozen times. You know, I know we have a great God, but it's like, hey, I want all the blessings that I can get. And if there's blessing involved in reading this book, I'm there.
Is there a warning for those who don't believe in it, in the book, in the Revelations? Did I read something that if you don't believe in it?
Well, at the end of the book of Revelation, in chapter 22. Who's got the book there that you can turn to Revelation 22, where it says, if anyone takes away or adds to the book, can somebody read that, or shall I?
What verse do you want? I have it right here.
It's in chapter
22.
Chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
It's in chapter 22, and I'll just go over it there. He says, this is verse 18 and 19.
Wait, did you all hear the rapture train? Did you all hear the rapture train coming together?
Yeah, that's true. Has the rapture train.
It's our Lord flirting. Say yes, please. Explore Revelation. Hong Kong.
Can you, you know, I live not that close to a train, but there is a train passing, and he's doing his choo-choo. I also didn't hear that. Did you all hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we know. Last night, Carol, you were driving the Salvation Station locomotive, so we know it's you.
Yes, she was.
Oh, wow, man. that was something. Yeah, And anyway, oh, that's too funny. Oh Lord, oh, bless you. He's awesome. So, anyways, going back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, he says, "I am telling everyone who hears the words that are written in this book. If anyone adds anything to what is written in this book, God will add to him the kinds of trouble that this book tells about. If anyone takes away any part of this book that tells what will happen in the future, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are told about in this book." So I think that is what you were referring to.
Yeah, because I remember reading something, hearing something sort of like, yeah, that's what it was.
Yes. You know, and
again, in chapter 20,
if you believe it. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
In chapter 20, he that bears witness of these things, say, yes, I am coming quickly. We are bearing witness to these things. Yes, our Lord is coming quickly.
Amen.
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 And then it continues, amen, come Lord Jesus.
Yes.
May the understanding kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the holy ones.
Exactly.
Amen to that. May we be blessed with the knowledge and wisdom that we seek, we desire.
Yep.
Again, ask and he'll share. I mean, that's it. A lot of times where I'm like, in the past, why haven't I been having? I haven't been asking. You know, it's just as simple as that. He's so gracious. He won't dump something on you unless you ask, you know?
Yeah.
Including his love, which is, that's another thing. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Tana, are you still on the line?
Tana? I'm at work. Yeah, I'm at work.
Oh,
I'm polishing silverware right now.
Oh, right on. So, all right. I was going to see if you wanted to do communion, but Jerry, do you have any desire in leading communion tonight? If not, I'll do it. I just think maybe someone else.
I'll prepare for some other.
Okay. No problem. Would you guys like to do that now, or do you want to wait a little while?
Yes, because Tom is with us.
Let's do that now, and give respect to our Lord and remembrance for the sacrifice that he made for us. Okay. Our Lord, on the night that he was betrayed at the Last Supper, he told us to do this in remembrance of him, and he did this. He broke a loaf of bread, unleavened bread, which signifies purity, the purity of his body. And he passed it around to the disciples, and he says, "This means my body, which I give in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together." Later in the meal, our Lord did the same with his cup, filling it with wine. I should say blood, filling it with his wine, passing it around. He did not drink from it. He said, "This cup means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together." "For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of our Lord until he arrives."
Thank you.
Man, Bill has such an anointing to play that holy whatever. Oh, no. I forget
the
what
flute
it's called.
He's playing.
Yeah,
the
that flute.
Flute.
Wow. It's really, really, really awesome. It's very anointed. It really brings us into the joyful peace, you know, into that sweet peace of the Lord.
It really is. Bill's music's a blessing. I'm sorry, what's up, Karen?
I wanted to add something. Thank you, Roman. A little while ago, Roman wrote in chat, I was thinking we are saying in chat, what we are saying in chat is being recorded. This is what he's saying. I was thinking that what we are saying in chat is being recorded, and the show is it's being recorded in heaven. In 1,000 years, we will all be watching it. Well, Roman and to the saints, in case you haven't read Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, here's what the Lord says. Those who feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened to them. And the names of those who worshiped the Lord and honored him were written down before him in a book of remembrance. They will be mine, says the Lord of all, and on that day I gather my special people. I will have loving mercy on them as a man has loving mercy on his own son who serves him. Then you will again see the difference between those who are right and good and those who are sinful. You will see the difference between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. But the scripture I was focusing on was what he says, those who spoke often to one another, the Lord listened to them. And this isn't this what we are doing? We are speaking to one another, honoring the Lord. The names of those who worshiped the Lord and honored him are being written down, you guys. They're being recorded in a book of remembrance. So, yeah, Roman, what you were thinking was a revelation from the Holy Spirit to you, because it is being recorded. Our words in chat, our words on the show are being recorded. So we're honoring him and we're honoring one another. So,
amen.
Just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Roman. I love you, Roman. We all love you. Roman's our powerful brother.
Hey, Roman.
He's so powerful in the Lord because he speaks so hard. And again, if you speak hard, the Lord will anoint you. And Roman's living proof of that. Much love to you, brother. Much love to you, brother.
Love you, Roman. Love you, everybody.
Yeah. And see how the Lord used him? When I saw that, you know, I couldn't bring this up because we were reading in Revelation and whatever. But I'm like, I need to hold on to that piece of information that Roman wrote, because you know Roman is just so spontaneous, and he wrote, hey, I was just thinking that everything we are saying in chat is being recorded, and the show is being recorded in heaven, and in 1,000 years we're all going to be watching it. Well, I don't know if he was aware of. Of the scripture in Malachi chapter 3:16. But that scripture, what Roman spoke, is confirmed in the scripture. There's a book of remembrance.
Amen.
Amen. It's very true. I mean, we are, all of heaven's looking down on us. And we're living in a time where, again, jealousy is not the right word at all, but we're the prophets of old. I mean, they wish they could live and we are living right now. I mean, it's such a special time. But they're looking down on us, cheering us on, blessing us, the Holy Spirit's anointing us, helping us. I mean, it's And again, we're part of a body. Roman being that strong makes our body that much stronger.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, immerse, get deeper with it. It makes us all stronger for our Lord as his bride, as one body. That's why he used that parable of a bride and a groom. And us being the bride, we all make up his bride, one body. And
yeah.
Let's be the best we can be, obviously. But, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rosemary, you wrote, "We're going to see ourselves sitting in our living room in our PJs listening to the show." And I asked Roman, "Were you aware of Malachi 3:16, that our words are being recorded?" And he says, "No, Caroline." See, the Holy Spirit put that in Roman's heart and in his spirit to write that, so that I could, you know, the Lord would use me to bring out Malachi 3:16 and tell everybody, you know what, guys, our words are being recorded to the glory of God. That's awesome.
You know, Joe, you mentioned jealousy, and we are the people.
Wrong word, but yeah.
Well, no, but not really, because we're the people who are supposed to provoke the Jews to jealousy. We're to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy by our relationship
oh,
and salvation in Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
That's such a good point, Jerry. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And this relates directly to the age of grace, because we're expressly told in the New Testament that Jesus proclaimed a new covenant. And that is the age of grace, the new covenant. And for those in that new covenant, with our belief in Jesus, we become a branch engrafted into the tree which represents Israel. And so we have a portion of God's original covenant, but we are the branch that provokes the rest of the tree to jealousy.
Amen. Amen. So right on. Oh, I love having you on, Jerry. We all do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
See if we can get Pat back. Pat, you're back.
Here,
I muted you for a second.
Yeah,
please,
but... I'm here, honey. I'm here. Oh,
it's
thank
all
you,
good.
Everybody. Yeah.
Good.
No, the dogs. I mean,
Pat,
they go crazy with Laura.
Pat
yeah.
lives in a mini zoo, so it's, you know.
Yeah, I know what mini Noah's Ark, yeah. There was a
you're right,
the
exactly,
place
but yeah, mini Noah's Ark. She sees a couple of birds. She brings them home, takes care of them, adopts them. That's her mama, Pat. We love you, Pat.
I love you guys, too.
I love you.
Yeah, it's
Pat,
wild
you
here.
Do you have any he and I or any? Enjoyed that letter that you read. You know, if you could maybe not even in a future show pull up some more of your personal, don't mind sharing. That was really.
Yeah, I got some more personal stuff. You want me to read? This was 2008. I've got some more. I can't believe I found these letters. I mean, oh my goodness. Yeah, let me.
Well,
just
I feel
listen.
Like you found him for a reason. I'm over. I mean, I'm over believing coincidences
okay.
at this,
this
point.
Yeah, I'll. No, I'll read some more to you. I mean, I'll read excerpts from them. But this is for all of you. Put yourself in my place, because what he says to me, he's saying to everybody, okay? He says, I started out, my faults and failings, my love, they are so many. And he said, didn't I tell you, oh, you're going to love this, guys. didn't I tell you that one act of sincere love can wipe out a lifetime of faults and sins? Then have no fear, little one, my beloved. I see everything you mean. I look at the intention of all you give me. I'm reading slow because I got to plow through this my handwriting, which is sort of okay. If you are loving me, then you are loving me. So never fear, never. Could you ever love me enough? Is anything too much? I know you are in love with me. Don't you think I know? He said tenderly, all day, all night, you are with me. Or so you try to be. Don't you think I see all this love, this attention to me? Don't you think I respond? You know I do. And it says, so rare is
the oneness that we share. What do you think I'm saying? You know, we know, and this is forever. So simply, so do not fear, just love me. And I said, Jesus, thank you so much for loving me, for wanting this. I'm sorry, it makes me cry. For loving me, for wanting to love me. I am not used to someone wanting my love or wanting to be in love with me. Thank you for letting me love you. I am so grateful. And he says, and could I say this, the same thing? How many love me as I want to be loved, to be in the center of one's life, that I am their all in all, that outside of me nothing exists, to give me everything in their short life on earth. How can anyone be happy without me? I am one's only joy. I alone give joy. Live in my love. Serve me cheerfully. You know I love you. So that was in 2008. Yeah. Yeah, but that's for everybody.
That was so beautiful, Pat. And again, yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, because we are a body, so, and thank you for sharing, you know, that's
for
personal,
everybody.
But at the same time.
Whatever he
and
says
just the
to
emotion.
Me, he says to all you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I even have ones that are, blah, blah. I mean, boy. But, you know, it's
well,
the bridegroom to the bride.
That's for all of us. I really.
But I read.
That.
I mean, it took a little courage even to read some of this, because it gets very romantic. But that's he's the lover of our souls, and this is a spiritual, beautiful thing. You know, this is all heavenly. But the fact that he is a man, that he is human like us, that throws me. It's like I said before, I can't keep my arms around him enough. I can't ask him, are you okay? Do you want something? Should I make you a meal? I mean, you can sit down and eat a meal. It's like 24/7 I have to be with him. I cannot let him out of my sight. And he knows that. And this has gone back before I'm 20 years old. And I'm going to be 71. That's why I say old wifey. I think Stacy said that. They're like, we're just an old wifey, you know. But, you know, and sometimes we just look at each other. We don't even have to say anything, you know. And sometimes his presence is so overwhelming. And he has it with all of you. I mean, you know, it's incredible. It's the greatest adventure, the greatest romance. You know, it's just, and it's real, it's there. Because, you know, we're living by faith. But I said, Jesus, the faith that you give us is so strong. How would not one believe in you? I mean, you overpower people. You overwhelm them, you know. And he's just looking for souls to overwhelm with his love and have this beautiful relationship with him. So once you're sincere with him, don't be afraid of anything. It's like he's got you. You've got him. Enjoy the ride. What can I say? And that's what it is. And that's what it's come to in 2014. We're enjoying the ride with him. We're beloveds with him. And
Amen.
He blesses the one who really believes. He does. Simple, purely, like a child, you know, spouse, friend, father, creator, God. You know, just for the little moment you have, not the one before, not the one coming. Right now, be cheerful. Right now, love him. Right now, do everything you think, say, and do. Let it give glory to God. No angst, no anxiety. Like he said in He and I, you love this too, just brief. He said, you know, he says, we're like spouses, beloved. He says, it's not so much that I come down or you rise up to meet me, but we talk on the same level. We even share our hearts because for bridegroom and bride, everything is shared together. Everything is the same for us, you know. It's like he's trying to remove that distance of not getting into his arms and just trusting him completely and sharing all the joy that two people could share who love each other dearly, whether it's spouse or child or platonic or friend. He's going to give you the utmost dose of that, whatever you want. He says in the beautiful book, Way of Divine Love, he says, I just want to give myself to you. If you want me to be the beloved, I'll be the beloved. You want me to be the father? You want me to be the friend? You want me to be the... So what do you want me? Just tell me what you want. I want to give myself to you. So what can I do for you? This is our Lord. I mean, unbelievable love. It's incredible he died on the cross with all that horror and suffering, and he would do it for each and every one of us again if he had to. I mean, what kind of a God is this? What kind of a love is this? It's a love that we have to emulate and imitate. But who can love like that except Jesus? You know, he has the greatest weight of honor and glory because he has suffered and loved the most. You know, there's no one greater than him because of his love and what he's done. I mean, he's awesome. He's beyond awesome. So,
But he wants us to love him simply and purely and just for the moment and enjoy that love, enjoy him. He says, take time away from prayers just to enjoy my love. He says, you don't have to be praying all the time. You don't need a lot of fancy words, nothing. Just talk to me. And this silence is, in the silence, I'm there. I'm there. You're still going to feel me. And even if you don't, he's always there. He says, don't ever think you can be somewhere and I'm not there. I'm always waiting for you. Always. You can never not have me there. I'm there in your heart. I'm by your side. I'm always waiting for you. What a consolation that is to us. You're always there. You're always waiting for us. There's no way. Once I've given myself to you and surrendered, there's no way I'm going to escape you. He's the pursuer. He's the lover. He chases you, and he's going to catch you if you let him.
Amen.
With a bride,
so true.
We know this. We know this.
Yeah.
We know
but
this
he,
firsthand.
He wants this. He wants this with everyone, our Lord.
Yes,
that's,
everyone.
That's
everyone.
What's so amazing about it. And everyone
yeah.
can have it with him. I mean, he wants
everyone
the great
can.
Crowd to be everybody on earth.
Yes,
and I used
everyone.
To think it was going to be a lot more until he showed me a lot less, rather, until he showed me a vision, and it was more people than I've ever seen it ever. A million. I mean,
yeah.
Way more than I
yeah.
ever thought. So I was very,
yeah.
but at the same time, sometimes I feel the sadness that he's feeling right now, the rejection.
Well, that's what I was feeling
this morning.
His eyes were so sad for the picture, and I said, and that's when I said to him, I was trying to cheer him up. I looked at him, I said, you're really hurting, aren't you? And his eyes just changed the picture of the sadness. And I said, listen to me. I said, Shekinah glory. And I put a thumbs up and I said, listen to your wife. And I talked to him with respect. But I said, fill every room with Shekinah glory. Bring them to their knees. I said, if they need a near-death experience, whatever you have to do, Lord, you do it for one, do it for everyone. You love everyone without exception. Get everybody without exception. So I was giving him a pep talk to try to cheer him up a little bit because he doesn't like what's coming. I mean, a lot of people are going to wake up and stuff, but he can't stand the loss of one soul, but he leaves you free. And if you're proud and arrogant and listening to the devil and you're throwing mud in his face, what's he going to do? He still wants you desperately, and he'll forgive you. Mercy is the highest of his works. He says, just anyone who believes in my mercy and talks about me, he says, boy, are you with me? Wow, you know, he just loves it. That the hardest sinner is most welcomed in his arms because he wants to show that mercy to. He knows people aren't loved enough. He knows how Satan has duped you. He knows the trials of this life. That's where you got to turn to him and say, you know, help me, you know, and show me. And he will, and he'll take care of everything. You know, you got to rebuke the enemy, put on Ephesians, you know, the armor, you know, and keep. We have to just keep trying to reach for souls. And it's not just talking on the radio, whatever, or visiting. So it's our prayer. We're prayer warriors. I have a thing on prayer I got to read sometime. Our prayers are so powerful, guys. You have no idea. It's like flaming arrows right to his heart when we pray. When we pray with confidence and sincerity, and we're praying for the world, we're praying for a family member, we're praying for this one or that one or conversions. Very, very powerful. Don't ever underestimate the power of your prayers when they're said to his heart, when you are his, because he is listening. Oh, boy. So realize how powerful your prayers are. You know, and there's a lot of prayers now going up, you know. The fine-tuning will be when we're gone and the fireballs and the earthquakes and everything, that's going to make the other people, you know, really sit up and say, wow, this is way too much. This earth is crazy. What's going on? Help. Help. That's their last word is going to be help. And you know who they're going to, whether you cry out for Jesus no matter what. Because, you know, yeah, it's going to be that. That's what's going to save them. I really believe
it's
that.
It's funny, Pat, because I've been in gnarly car accidents and other plane crashes I didn't want to get into with people who are, they didn't believe in God at all, atheists, like full-on atheists. And
yeah.
The last thing out of their mouth was, oh, my God. It's almost like
yeah.
a natural, you know, like it was just funny to observe that over, you know, my years.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you going to call? You're not going to call the Ghostbusters. You're going to call Jesus. You're going to call God.
But it's like I watched them do it involuntarily almost. It was just like
yes.
it just mm-hmm. came out of their mouths. And again, these are the most hardened, you know, atheists I know.
And you know what? God will answer that. God
absolutely.
Will answer that. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So this
Jerry?
What's going to happen. Oh, shut up.
Oh, not at all, Pat.
Jerry.
No, I think Jerry has something to add, and I love hearing from Jerry.
actually, I was sorry I got distracted.
Oh, that's okay.
No problem. No problem. Pat, we always love hearing from you. Your walk is just encouraging to us all in your relationship with our Lord.
Whatever I can
just
do,
realizing,
whatever I can do.
Guys,
yeah,
our Lord, the Almighty, you know, the Son of God, has feelings. He walked as a human. And he knows what it's like, and that's something that, you know, meditate on, actually comprehend that, you know, as almighty and powerful as our Lord is, he also has feelings, and right now he's kind of bummed out that his father's, you know, vengeance is going to be poured out, and he's going to, you know, to do what he has to do. He wants more to be saved, and as his bride, let's be the best bride we can be, obviously. Let's save as many as we can for our Lord. I mean, let's make him happy. Let's go to him every day. Lord, what can we do for you today?
Exactly.
You
and
know,
he said to Gabrielle, he
cheer,
said, I'm the most sensitive of all men. I'm the sensitive of all men. He says, you can't imagine how your words, everything resonates with me because I feel more sensitive than any other man. So we have to keep that in mind, guys, you know, how sensitive he is and how he appreciates every word and how he loves us to talk to him and believe in him. He feels. He feels as a God feels, but he feels it as a man God as well, which is so precious, so precious. When you think of it. Go ahead, honey. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no.
You know, the only thing God can't control is what you do with your heart, because he gives us free will.
Yes.
Everything else he has control over.
Yes.
So in a certain way, of all the things God has done, and when Jesus died on the cross, he had to put his faith in one thing, and that is that we would accept what he offers to us for free. And so there is even a portion of faith. Even though he has provision and he's in our lives, he gave us a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in certain respect, he put his faith in us, and people shouldn't take that for granted.
Amen. I mean, it's the only righteous way to, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the weeds, is free will, to let people make that decision on their own. So that's, you know, also why it's being done that way.
This free will thing. But boy, when you give it to him, when you walk with him, when you love him and let him love you, it's like the greatest thing that you could ever have. I mean, it just never quits, never stops. It gets more and more. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, I've had this over 50 years, and it's like I still have moments where he is just still more overwhelming. His presence is greater. His love is sweeter. I mean, you know, oh, dear me.
As much as our Lord tries and reaches out, our enemy is, you know, making everyone as apathetic and zombies as they can be. I mean, all these signs are going by almost unreported. It's absurd. If you don't get your news off of YouTube, nothing is really, they don't report much of anything. No one could really care less. Everyone's so worried about, you know, their own worldly thing going on. Like, the enemy has them, people just who they wanted, lost sheep, who are just saying, put me in a pen, just take care of me. I don't want to have to worry. I just want to be able to look down at my digital device all day or whatever. I'm just like, and separation, like it's so important to take the time to just, you know, detach from everything and just be with the Lord. Like, it's helped me incredibly, so, and I'm sure it's helped others. And I can only speak for myself, but I encourage anyone listening to always do that.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus said he came to divide. And, you know, we think of him and associate him with peace, but Jesus said he came to divide. And because he wanted his portion, and it's your choice whether you want to be part of his portion.
A mother will be against a daughter, or a daughter-in-law against her mother, or something like that. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
because you know, and that's part of resolution. Let's call it resolution. Things have to become God's way for the millennial kingdom. And things have to be changed. That's real change.
Yeah.
It's coming, brothers and sisters.
It's
it's so coming. I don't even have the words to express.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. Don't worry about the media shows. God will protect his own. Others are going to, I don't know what we're going to expect. I mean, I can't get a straight truth out of anything anywhere about what's going to be. I just don't think, you know, the higher-ups don't want to tell us really what might be fireballs and stuff. So I don't know. I have no idea. It might just be a pretty meteor shower. I don't know.
Tomorrow night, really.
It's actually tonight. It's
2 o'clock in the morning or some ridiculous hour.
It's technically tomorrow, but it's overnight.
Yeah, You're right.
Good viewing time, Jerry? Is it going to be good viewing from 2 a.m.?
It's 10 in the morning.
According to the people that we don't always believe, it's between 2 and 4 this morning East Coast time.
Right.
And we have cloud cover. We have rain.
Maybe exactly. I was
just whizzing over the clouds. Oh, dear God. Yeah, there was a big one in Ontario just recently, last week. And the guy said the sound was making all this noise, you know, and didn't hit the ground, but the noise was very scary. Big fireball, yeah. So, and that's not even the comment going through yet. I don't know. So heads up.
Hi. Just before we have to take off, I don't know. I think it's getting close to sign off.
Yeah.
We got about 3 minutes left.
Okay. Heads up, Judy Booty put a new video out. So she just put it out about an hour ago. So don't forget to check it out.
Right on.
Good.
Right on.
And the bride.
Does anyone else? we have 2 minutes. Does anyone else other encouragement or things to share with fellow members? Definitely, I'm going to be looking forward to that meteor shower tonight. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to be out there.
Oh, cool.
You guys?
Rain or shine. I'm north of Manhattan. Where are you at, Jerry?
I'm in Indiana. I'm on East Coast time.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey, so we'll get to see something, I guess, if the clouds clear up.
It clears up. Yeah, we had crazy thunderstorms here. Did you?
Yes. Yeah, humdingers. Yeah.
We have 1 minute left, guys. I want to thank everyone, as always, for calling and in chat and just contributing to the show. I mean, again, it's everyone's, and it's, you know, special thanks to Jerry. I'm really enjoying you the last tonight. Thank you so much, brother.
Beautiful
please
teacher.
Continue.
Great teacher.
Yeah,
you're
so
welcome.
Anointed, please. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's a true blessing. So.
Thank you, everybody. Love you all.
Yeah, God loves you all, too.
Amen.
So we'll
Amen.
See you tomorrow morning.
We're here for translation day.
Flying in on a meteor. Fly up on a meteor.
Happy
translation. Here we go. Shoom,
here we go.
On a fireball, Lord. We're coming out. Everybody grab one and go up.
Guys, spirit of the bride says.
Okay.
Come. Love you guys. Let's talk tomorrow.